Some of you like doing that. Some of you do, all right. Some are rather half-hearted. Well, you know. My wife and I, we enjoy watching the Olympics. Now, she likes the stories. You know, before you watch an event, they got for 20 minutes telling you somebody's life story. I don't really care about the life story. I want to see the event. You know, I want to see the competition, the blood, sweat, and tears. I want to see the intensity of the competition, you know. Her other favorite part is not really the competition. Her favorite part really is the medal ceremony. My wife will stay up all night to watch an American stand in the center with the American flag hanging over them and hear the national anthem. I mean, she loves seeing that medal placed on that athlete. And really, when you think about it, those awards are given for faithfulness, aren't they? Faithfulness in training, faithfulness in dieting. I mean, these folks sacrifice their life to win those awards. They really do. I mean, they live their whole life to win those things. But you know, it's interesting, from time to time you hear about some of these gold medal winners going broke financially and putting their gold medal on eBay. You hear about, I've heard about some of these gold medals being stolen. And I'll guarantee you this, when those athletes die, not one of them takes that gold medal with them wherever they go. Not one of them do. Now, you as a believer are called to faithfulness also. God calls us to faithfulness. And there are great rewards given to the believer for faithfulness. And we see that picture in the life of Elijah and Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And I want to review a little bit the record of their faithfulness we saw last Sunday. And then we'll move on to the reward for their faithfulness. So, you're in 2 Kings chapter 2. And we have seen again the record, if you're taking notes, the record of faithfulness. And these men had showed their faithfulness. Elijah, what a ministry this man had. I mean, wouldn't you have liked to have been on Mount Carmel? Can you imagine being on Mount Carmel? Now, you had to endure 6 hours of those crazy prophets screaming and cutting themselves and all that stuff. But wouldn't you like to have been there with old Elijah? And he says, hey, boys, let's just make this fair. Let's pour 12 barrels of water on my sacrifice just to even up the odds a little bit. And then he prays 63 words and whoosh, fire comes down from heaven and the whole thing is gone. Everything. Wow, what a ministry. But if you remember, we saw last week, he had some misery too, didn't he? Because it wasn't long after that we find Elijah saying, Lord, kill me. Take my life. It's over. And he's running for his life. And it's at that point in his life when God says, okay, Elijah, I've got three things I want you to do before you go to heaven. I want you to anoint two kings, and I want you to anoint a successor, this man Elisha. But if you're not careful in reading of Scripture, we get to chapter 2 and we think, oh, 6 months passed. Really, 10 years have passed. And though Elisha had a great ministry and had some terrible misery, some great failure, he continued to serve the Lord. And in chapter 1, we saw him telling Ahab or Ahaziah, you're going to die. We saw him continuing to minister, and we saw him in his old age, just about ready to go to heaven, and he's still faithfully serving God. One of the things we saw was that he was faithfully training Elisha. And he was also working in these schools of the prophets. He was passing it on. He was training the next generation. So here is a man now, a senior saint, who has faithfully served God. He's kept at it. Even though he had some tough times, he came back and he served the Lord. But then we saw Elisha's faithfulness. And I want to remind you, this just strikes me. Here is a man who had the mantle of Elijah cast upon him. And Elijah said, you're the next in line, buddy. And yet for 10 years, he did no miracles that we know of. Don't even know if he did any teaching. Don't know what he did. Except, and I'm glad Todd reminded us last week because I'd forgotten that passage, where a few years later, Elisha comes on the scene and the king says, hey, here's the guy who poured water on the hands of Elisha. Now, what is he talking about? What did it mean in that day to have someone pour water on your hands? They were a servant. That's exactly. They didn't have running water. In fact, Elisha was the running water. He ran to get the water. For 10 years, you know what he was doing? He was taking a pitcher of water and he was pouring it on Elijah's hand so Elijah could wash his hands. Wow. Boy, that's an encouragement. And yet he kept faithful. And he kept faithful. And they came to Gilgal and Elijah said, you stay here. He said, buddy, I'm going with you. And they came to Jericho and he said, you stay here. He said, no way, buddy, I'm going with you. And they came to the Jordan and he said, you stay on this side. He said, no way, buddy, I'm going with you. And he went faithfully with Elijah. Two faithful men. Faithful to the end. Wow, what an example for us. What an example. Well, by the way, I didn't mention this last week. I was in a hurry toward the end. But Elisha could have been like Demas. What do you know about Demas? Yeah, so he served with Paul, but there came a day when he said, you know what? Enough is enough. And it says in the Word of God, in 2 Timothy 4:10, it says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. Elisha could have done that. Here's Elisha, the follower. He could easily have bailed, but he stuck with it. He hung in there. Even when Elijah said, hey, buddy, fall back, he said, no way, buddy, I'm going with you. What great pictures of faithfulness. And I ask you this morning, as God looks at your life today, if he had to write a word over your name to describe your life, would it be faithful? Faithful. Now the world, see, by the way, this is a rabbit trail, but I am so fed up with all these Hollywood people who are so famous. And you get I've just about done away with Yahoo. It is so liberal, it is so ridiculous. I used to read Yahoo every morning and see what's going on in the world, but I'm just so sick and tired of it. And they want to tell me what this person wore and this person wore and what this celebrity said. They're actors. Who cares? They haven't produced anything. You know, but anyway, that is a rabbit trail big time, but I just want to get that off my heart to you, okay? That's exactly right. Yeah. Be straight up here with you. I'm so tired of that junk. And the world wants to put over your head talented or rich or good looking or whatever. You know what God wants to put over you? Faithful. Now here's the great news. From me to Melina and everybody between can be faithful. You say, well, my IQ's high enough. Who cares? You say, well, my bank account's not high enough. It doesn't matter. You say, I don't have enough talents. It doesn't matter. Everyone can be faithful with the gifts and the talents God. Say, it is a gift. Hallelujah. You be faithful with that gift. You say, well, I'm 66 years old. I'm going to hang it up. I spent some time recently with Bennett up on a lift in the gym putting up new lights. I was Elisha. He was Elijah. Yeah. I was washing his hands for him. Still serving the Lord. Faithful. Faithful. Boy, that's what we need. Faithful people. Okay? Now, let's look at, secondly, the reward for faithfulness. Look in verse 11 of chapter 2. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked. Now they've crossed the Jordan at this point. And I guess I should have read that, verse 8. Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters. They were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. Verse 10, 11. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked. Wouldn't you like to know what they talked about? No idea. I mean, it may have just been Elijah saying, wow, Elijah, that was awesome. The way you spread that water. I mean, that was cool. We don't know. We don't know what that talk. They were talking. Suddenly, there's appear a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Wow. They're just kind of, they've crossed the Jordan, they're walking, they're talking, and suddenly, right between them comes this chariot and horses of fire, and grabs old Elijah, and 1 minute he's there, and the next minute he's gone. Occasion. And here is a man, one of two, I believe, who never died. Think about that. Now, why is that? Because he was faithful. He was faithful. And God said, I'm going to reward you. And I have been around a lot of death and dying. If you're in the ministry, you see a lot of it. And you see the suffering of people going through death and the sickness and all of those things and the separation. David called it the valley of the shadow of death. And by the way, the Bible says it's appointed to man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And of course, that started with Adam and Eve when they sinned. And because of their sin, it said death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so everybody is assigned this time of death. In fact, in Genesis chapter 5, you read there, and Adam lived a certain number of years, and he died. And his son lived a certain number of years, and he died, and they died, and they died. And all of us, Paul even calls it a body of death. Every one of us, by the way, I know this is encouraging to your heart, is scheduled to die. Unless, of course, the rapture occurs. Wouldn't that be great? And really, this is a great picture of that. But Elijah didn't have to go through any of that. Didn't have to take that last painful breath. He didn't suffer. He wasn't sick. I mean, he was here one moment. Boom, he was in heaven the next minute. Now, I mentioned there are two. Now, I'm excluding the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the God-man. Who is the other? Enoch. And what a picture. It's interesting in my reading, by the way, several commentators gave us Moses. And I said, wait a minute. And clearly it says in the Word of God, and Moses died. I thought, okay, boys, you missed that passage. Okay. But Enoch, what a picture. Here is a man that says he walked with God. And what happened? Can you just see him? Here he is. He's just walking with God. He's just talking with God. And all of a sudden God says, hey, buddy, come on up. And he quit walking with God on the earth, and he was walking with God in heaven. Wow. What a great deal to miss death. And that's exactly what happened, and he was carried up to heaven. That word, by the way, that is used with Enoch, said he was translated. That's a great word. It means to transport, to exchange. I like this. To change sides. Isn't that great? To carry over. To remove, to translate, to turn. And we don't know how Enoch was translated, but he was here and he was gone. In Elijah's case, it was a chariot of fire. It was glory and splendor. I mean, what a scene that must have been. And God took him to heaven. He was translated to heaven. It's interesting, he was also transformed. Now, we don't read this in the Word of God. But on the way to heaven, something had to happen. What had to happen? His body had to be changed. How do you know that? Okay. I think several of you are hitting right around it, but in 1 Corinthians 15:50, that great resurrection chapter, it says, flesh and blood, what? Cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Your body, the way it is, can't go to heaven. Aren't you glad? Who'd want to be stuck with this? I mean, I'm speaking personally. You can all say amen if you want to, but I mean, you know, a decaying, failing body. There's a new body, and it says in verse 53, this what? Corruptible, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So not only did he cheat death, no longer struggle with sickness, pain, all those things. He got a new body. And I was reading my devotions this week in 1 Corinthians, and it said, we put off this earthly tabernacle, which is what's a synonym for tabernacle? Tent. And what do you think about when you think about tents? Something temporary, right? But we put on the building of God. Isn't that neat? You put off the temporary, which is falling apart and terrible and all kinds of problems. I remember the day I could see without these. Now you're just kind of like a blur. You look much better. No, I'm just kidding. And unfortunately, that just continues as you get older, doesn't it? I remember the day I could run and run and run and never stretch and never have pain. I think I can remember that day. It's a long time ago. But isn't it something? Here's a man who, because of his faithfulness, God just said, I'm going to send some chariots to pick you up, buddy. And he took him to heaven. He never died. He cheated death. He was transformed. He was changed. He's in heaven today. Wow. What a reward. Well, what about Elisha? Did he get a reward? I want to remind you, he could have quit 10 years running. He could have quit any day. He could have said, you know what, Elijah, I'm staying at Gilgal. I kind of like it here. Going over the Jordan, I'm not swimming, buddy. I'm going to stay here. You just help yourself. But don't you see Elisha? And we need to read some more of the scripture here, because it says in verse 9, it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. What's he asking for? He's asking for the power of God. Now, we'll see this as we go along. Many, many commentators believe that he performed exactly twice as many miracles as Elijah, which is amazing because Elijah was a great prophet. But there is a condition. And he says in verse 10, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. Can you imagine Elisha, what was he doing? Oh, that's exciting. I think I'll go take a nap over here for a while. And, you know, if anything exciting happens, let me know. You think? Can you imagine what Elisha was doing? You know, they come over the Jordan. Elijah walks over here. Where do you think Elisha was? He's right there, man. He said, I'm not missing this, buddy. He said, I'm going to stay right here. He cleaned his glasses. He said, I want to make sure I can see this, you know. And he's there. He is intent. Man, he doesn't want to miss it. And lo and behold, an amazing thing takes place. Elijah is taken to heaven. Now, I don't know. I can't really tell from Scripture if the 50 sons of the prophets saw it or not. It's kind of hard to tell. But I know one thing. I know Elisha saw it. Elisha saw it because he was faithful, because he hung in there. And you read the rest of this story here in verse 12. Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the river Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters. Aren't you glad something happened? Wouldn't that be embarrassing? He's over there beating the water to death and nothing's happening. But God had said, hey, you see me go, buddy, you're going to get a portion. And he believed that. And he said, where is the God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Wow. Let me ask you a question. Why was he able to smite the waters with the mantle and walk over on dry ground? Because Elisha was faithful. Faithful. What if 6 years into the thing he bailed, said, enough is enough? I don't believe we'd read this passage. But here's a man who was faithful, and he was rewarded by God. So we've seen some rewards. Elijah was rewarded. Elisha was rewarded, but how about you? How about me? Does the Bible talk about rewards for Christians? This is another rabbit trail I want to get on here momentarily. We're living in a society now. If your kid's involved with this, I apologize ahead of time, but it really gripes me when we don't keep score because we don't want Junior to have his feelings hurt if they don't win. Or everybody gets a trophy. We all get the participation trophy. You know what? It's not that way for a believer either. There are rewards for believers. Now, I've got a lot of verses here. Let me just kind of give you some. Here we go. The promise of rewards. Hang in here and I'll give these to you. Galatians 6:9. You know this one. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. There's the reward. There is a condition. If we faint not. Now, let me put that in the lesson here today. You will reap if you are faithful. You'll reap if you're faithful. If you're faithful. If we faint, we quit, what happens? Loss of reward. If we're faithful, there's reward. Let me give you another one. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, these are great words, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of God, or in the work of God. And what happens if you do that? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What happens if you're not steadfast, if you're not unmovable, if you're not abounding? No reward. Let me give you another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. What is this talking about, by the way? What event? What event? I hear some people whispering. What event that's coming in the future for every believer? Judgment seat of Christ, there you go. And where we are, our works are tested, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, listen, he shall receive a reward. Let me ask you, describe some things that are gold, silver, precious stones. Soul winning? Is that it? Service? Faithfulness? Prayer? Praise? Reading the Bible? Giving? I heard something somewhere. Joy? You're a good man, Charlie Brown. Joy, sure, joy, those are gifts of the Spirit, love, all those things. Now, what is wood, hay, and stubble?
Everything else.
Now, let's be honest. And I'm being honest. What did we do mainly this week? What did you do this week that would be called wood, hay, stubble, and all that? That's going to be burnt up. And what did you do and what did I do that would be gold, silver, precious stone? It's kind of sobering, isn't it? Kind of sobering. I was having my devotions this morning. I thought of another one, or maybe I was praying this morning. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. No doubt there are rewards. They're promised by God. But what are they like? What are the particulars of these rewards? And let me just give you a couple illustrations. Matthew 25, we see the parable of the talents. Now, when we talk about talents today, we're talking about abilities. Okay, in that day, the talent was gold or some kind of monetary thing. And of course, you know, the master calls the guys in, say, I'm going away, and I'm going to leave you this money to invest. Gave one guy five, one guy two, one guy one. After a certain amount of times, you know, he comes back and he calls them in for an accounting. The guy that had five, what'd he do? Doubled him, he had ten. And God said to him, well done, or the master said to him, well done, thou good and, there's that word, faithful servant. Now the man that had two came in and he had doubled his. And God said to him, well done, or you did pretty good. You didn't do as good as the other guy because he had five and he got five more. You only got two. And, you know, you did okay, right? Is that what he said to him? The guy that had two talents, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't that interesting? And then one guy that had one talent, one, we could even say one gift, one ability today. I know it was money back then, but we use that term today. He said, you know, Lord, Master, I was really fearful because you're a harsh master, and I was afraid if I lost this that you know, I'd be penalized, so I hid it. Now, again, I know the talent is different now and then, but how many believers are doing that today? God has given them spiritual gifts and abilities, and they're saying, I'm fearful, and so I'm not going to do it. And the master said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Wow. Strong, strong. These rewards are often talked about in Scripture as crowns. Let me give you some of those passages. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. We looked at last week, Paul said, I have done what? Fought a good fight. Finished the course. Kept the faith. In other words, I've been faithful. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, you might say, well, yeah, but that's Paul. But what does the rest of the verse say? And not to me only, but unto all them that love is appearing. Paul said, I've been faithful. And because of that, I'm going to have a crown, a reward. In 1 Corinthians 9:25, it says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, he's in control in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. And in James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried or tested, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Revelation 2:10 says, for none of these things which none of those things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Listen, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. For what? Just being faithful. Just being faithful. Finally, Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold thou fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So we're going to go before the Lord someday, the judgment seat of Christ, and our work's going to be tried. And the things we've done for him with the right motive, for the right reasons, we're going to receive rewards for, crowns for, as it were. And you know what you're going to do for all eternity? You're going to take those crowns, you're going to strut around heaven, and you're going to say, look at me. Look what I did. Look at me, right? Right? Now, what are you going to do? Well, Revelation chapter 4 tells us, it says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. Listen, and cast their crowns before the throne and say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were and are created. And for all eternity, you're going to praise the Lord. Won't that be something? Two songs came to my mind as I was concluding my study. Let me give you both to you. I am thinking today of that beautiful land I shall reach when the sun goeth down. When through wonderful grace by my Savior I stand, will there be any stars in my crown? And the chorus says, will there be any stars in my crown when at evening the sun goeth down? When I wake with the blessed in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars? And the second song that came to my mind was, must I go and empty-handed? Thus my dear Redeemer meet, not one day of service give him, lay no trophy at his feet. The chorus, must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go? Someday, if you're a believer, all of us are going to stand before the Lord. We're probably going to kneel before the Lord. And we're going to have opportunity to take our crowns, the things that we have been rewarded for the service of Christ, and lay them with adoration at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet. I wonder... Another song comes to my mind. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? You say, but Gary, I don't have lots of talents. I can't do this. I can't. Oh, that's okay. Do what God has gifted you to do. And do it faithfully. And do it faithfully. And continually. And don't stop. Don't quit. Until the trumpet calls and God takes us to heaven, or the deathbed calls and you leave this world. Just be faithful. Be faithful. And God promises great reward to those to be faithful. Now, your question may be, okay, where do I start? You know, I've wasted a lot of years. All right. If you're not serving the Lord the way you ought to be now, say, Lord, show me what I ought to do. Lord, what do you want me to do? By the way, that can start very simply. I don't have my coat on, but if you look at my day timer, you'll find tracks. You say, well, I can't lead with anybody. That's okay. Just leave it on the table. Leave it at the register. Leave it. Anybody can do that. Find what God wants you to do and simply do it. Simply do it. And be faithful. Okay? And you know, it's funny because I look around, I see all kinds of different people on all kinds of different gifts and abilities. And God has put us all together in the body of Christ to get the work of God done. And it'll get done if we're just faithful. And there'll be great reward for faithfulness. Faithfulness. Lord, we do thank you for the example of these two men. We thank you for the message of Scripture. And oh God, this week, help us to be faithful. Help us to find out what you want us to do, to seek your face. And Lord, reveal clearly to us what you'd have us to do. And then help us to be faithful that we might receive great reward in heaven that we can use to praise you for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here.